Psalms chapter 1 will be the scripture for our message today. There's an outline in your bulletin if you'd like to follow along. Blessed and delighted. I thought that's a good title. Blessed and delighted. David writes in the psalm, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night? That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction." Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves before you today. May the words that are spoken today bring glory to you and be for your people's good. I believe you said that today. You're going to do train and teach people, some people today, in the ways of the Lord. So I ask that your Holy Spirit will begin to train and teach right now. Let your will be done, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Number one, blessed are those who delight in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who delight in the law of the Lord. Blessed. Can I say happy? Happy are those? That's a good translation of that word in the Hebrew, happy. I don't know, happy's got like a bad rap in the church, you know. I don't know why that word, you have to be blessed. You can't be happy. Well, you can be both. Blessed, happy are those who delight in the law of the Lord. They are marked by stability. They are marked by human flourishing. They're like trees that are rooted by streams of water. The leaf does not wither. They bear fruit. They yield their fruit in season. They're blessed. They're happy. They're delighted. Contrasted to the fate of the wicked that are doomed to destruction. The wicked are marked by instability, are marked by barrenness. They are marked by the fact that they are not rooted. They're like chaff, the psalmist says. Chaff is it's flaky stuff. If you've seen on a movie, or maybe you've even done it, grain being sifted, where they put it on the sheet, the blanket, and they toss the grain in the air. And the grain has weight, and the grain will come back down to the blanket, but the stuff around it, the chaff, it does not have weight. It's light and it's flaky, and the wind catches it and carries it away. Well, that's what the wicked are like. They're flaky. Do you know anybody that's flaky? Even good people can be flaky from time to time. Did you know that? I didn't point it. I'm looking down in my notes. Simon Peter, the leader of the disciples, he had some flaky stuff. Jesus said in Luke chapter 22, "Simon, Simon, Satan has sought to sift you like wheat," because even the devil saw some flaky stuff in Simon Peter. What was his flaky stuff? If everybody denies you, I won't deny you. I will go to the grave with you. I will die for you, Jesus. And a few hours later, "I don't know him, I don't know him, I don't know him." Flaky stuff. But Jesus said, "Peter, I've prayed for you because I know you got some flaky stuff. And because I prayed for you, when you return to me, when that weighty stuff, when the grain returns because it has weight, I want you to strengthen your brothers. When you get back in step, when you see that you're blessed and delighted in the law of the Lord again, strengthen your brothers. When you get rid of the flaky stuff. Now, Psalms 1 is talking about being rooted in the Jewish law, in the Jewish religion. Blessed are those who delight in the law of the Lord. It will set the tone. This is Psalms chapter 1. There are 150 Psalms. It will set the tone for the rest of the book. It will root God's people and how they connect with God. It will provide stability, this psalm, and being blessed by delighting in the law of the Lord will provide stability, flourishing, and distinction in a Gentile world. It will make them stand out. It will make them rooted. It will make them flourish. The psalm is saying that the Jewish people are being saved from wickedness by the Jewish law, by the Jewish religion, by following the plan, if you will, that God has put in place. This is how they will connect with God. They will be blessed by delighting in the law of the Lord. This will make them happy and blessed, and this will make us happy, blessed, will make us delight as well, blessed and delighted. Number two, Christians, if you are a Christian, or if you become a Christian today, Christians enter the Psalms escorted by Jesus. Christians enter the Psalms, enter the Old Testament, enter the Old Covenant, read that old Genesis through Malachi. We enter that book escorted by Jesus. The only reason you know about the Old Testament, the only reason you're interested in this Jewish book, because it is a Jewish book, is because of Jesus. It is a Jewish book, and you are not Jewish, I don't think. No? No. So we read the Psalms, and we pray the Psalms, we read the Old Testament because of Jesus, because that was his prayer book, and he has invited us into that story. But Jesus has massively influenced the way we read the Psalms, the way we read the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. I'll give you an example. The very next chapter in Psalms chapter 2, verse 6. The psalmist said, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. Now, this is a Jewish book. We don't really know what is Zion, Zion. I heard that on the news or something. It's a Jewish book. They would have understood what Zion is, the mountain of God, Jerusalem. I have installed my king there. And for the Jewish audience, who would that king have been? Do you know? Not Jesus. David, very good. Come a little bit closer. Theologians. Psalms chapter 2, verse 6 was talking about Jesus. Talking about David. But now, as a Christ follower, Jesus takes us back to Psalms chapter 2, verse 6, and we go, hey, that's not just talking about David. It's talking about David's great-great-grandson, Jesus. So now, through Jesus, we understand the Psalms and the Old Testament. Jesus read the Psalms, and he prayed the Psalms. And when he was pressed, that's what came out. When he was on the cross, when he was in pain, when he was tortured, what came out was his prayer book, his prayers, the Psalms. My God, why have you forsaken me? You've heard that phrase before. What is that? It's a psalm. I thirst. It wasn't just because he was thirsty, he was saying that he was, but he was fulfilling the psalms. That's what came out of him. He was influenced by the psalms. He prayed the psalms. So I think it's fair to say that Jesus was blessed, he was happy, and he was delighted. Do you think so? I think so. He was part of the Jewish religion that followed the Lord, that followed Yahweh, who delighted in the law of the Lord. You ever heard the saying, Jesus didn't come to start a religion? You ever heard that? Jesus didn't come to start a religion. Well, that's very true. He didn't come to start a religion because he already belonged to a religion. He was an observant Jewish man. He was a religious man. Did you know that? He kept the Sabbath. He went to the synagogue, Jewish church. He read the scriptures. He prayed. He kept a religious calendar. He celebrated the religious feasts. So he was religious. He followed after the law of the Lord. He was blessed because of this, and he delighted in it. So Jesus did not come so people would stop praying and stop gathering and stop reading the scriptures and stop following a religious calendar. Because he knew that would stop us from being blessed, and he knew that that would stop us from being delighted. However, he did bring something brand new. So now we understand the law. We don't keep the Jewish law the way they did. But since Jesus is our escort into the law, and since he still delights in the law of the Lord, he brings something new, and now we interpret how to live for Christ, for God, through the life of Jesus. Number three. Blessed are those who delight in how God has revealed himself through Jesus. I guess I should put delighted as well. Blessed and delighted are those who delight. Oh, I do have it in there. I better listen to myself. Blessed are those who delight in how God has revealed himself through Jesus. I think I can say that. I think that's a theologically sound statement to say as a Christian, that I will be blessed and delighted if I accept how God has revealed himself through Jesus. Because Jesus did not come to do away with the law. He came to fulfill it. He came to bring it to completion so we can delight and be blessed in the law of God accepted through Jesus. So now people who pray to Jesus, people who sing worship songs to Jesus, people who read about Jesus, people who delight in Jesus, we have a desire to discover more about Jesus. We have a desire to pass what we know about Jesus. We have a desire to pass our blessings and how we are delighted in Jesus on to others and on to the next generation. I've been blessed and delighted by accepting Jesus. And I want to teach people to delight in Jesus. I want to teach people how to be blessed by the Christian religion, the Christian faith. I want to pass it on. If you have a personal relationship with Jesus, you can thank the Christian religion. You can thank someone in your life who was blessed and delighted, who decided to pass it on to you. Someone was blessed and delighted, and someone was blessed and delighted to pass it on to them, and someone was blessed and delighted to pass it on to that person, and it finally reached you. Some people say, I just need Jesus, just me and Jesus. Well, which Jesus? Well, I mean the one who lived and the one who did miracles and the one who forgave and the one who died and the one who rose again and the one who ascended. I need that Jesus. Well, how did you know about that Jesus? Where did you get that understanding of Jesus from? The Christian faith, the Christian religion passed that down to you. Someone for generations was blessed and delighted by that Jesus, and they passed it on, and they passed it on till it finally reached you. So it's not just you and Jesus. Someone was blessed and delighted by the law of the Lord revealed through Jesus and passed it down to you. So if you are interested in passing on the Christian faith to your children, are you interested in that? If you're interested in passing the Christian faith on to your grandchildren, are you interested in that? You need to recognize the indispensable tool that is the Christian faith, that is the Christian religion. Now, religion is not an end in itself. I say I'm religious because I'm rebellious. Because I know people go, I'm not religious. Well, I am, so. But I know religion is not an end in itself. That's when religion turns bad. And I admit millions have been poisoned by bad religion. Many in America today are not blessed and delighted by Christianity because many have turned Christianity bad. And I don't blame them for that. They don't want a poisoned Christian religion. But the proper response to food poisoning, say, is not to stop eating altogether. Well, I got food poisoning, so I'm never eating again. Guess what? That'll kill you too. The proper response to food poisoning is eating good food and avoiding the food that you should not have eaten. The proper response to bad religion is good religion, a blessed and delighted law of God revealed through Jesus Christ. You have been taught, you have learned, you've been blessed and delighted. Now you have to pass it on. You're teaching others how to be blessed and delighted in the law of God through Jesus Christ. You have to pass on something nourishing, pass on something good, pass on some healthy fruit. You got to yield your fruit in season for others and for the next generation. Number four. Blessed are those who are like a tree planted by streams of water. Like a tree, this is a metaphor. You're not a tree, you're like a tree. Blessed are those who are like a tree planted by streams of water. We're in the midst of a hurricane in our society. And many of you think it started 2 years ago or 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 50 years ago. But it didn't. It started about 400 years ago. It started small, but it has gained speed. It is growing, and it's called secularism. Secularism means the dividing of the secular from the sacred. We've completely separated them. Some who are opposed to God have taken the secular and said, this is the most important. Some who have misinterpreted how to relate to society have taken the sacred and ripped themselves apart from the world and lived in their Christian bubble, their sacred bubble, and have distanced themselves. So it can go both ways. But this has happened over the last 400 years. Secularism has damaged us, and it's not done yet. Our culture is moving that way. But don't be afraid. We're becoming more and more secular, more and more away from God, more and more hateful toward each other. But don't be afraid. Jesus said he would build his church and the gates of hell would not stand against it. So if Christianity is not the dominant force in the culture in our society, I think that may be a good thing. You may disagree. But I think it's a good thing because the early church was not the dominant force in its society, in its culture, and the early church changed the world. So I think once we get to a place where we're not the dominant force, we may be at the place where we're ready to change the world. There's an Indian folktale about a fisherman We got caught on the beach in a typhoon. It came upon him quick. He could not get back to his home, could not get off the beach fast enough. He ran to a group of trees, and he saved himself by lashing himself to a tree. Took some rope, some twine, and tied himself to that tree. And that storm hit full force, and he was bruised, and he was bloodied by that storm, but he lived. If he had not tied himself to that tree, he would have been swept out to sea, never to be seen again. The Christian faith, the Christian religion, lashes us to the tree of historic Christianity, lashes us to Jesus to survive this storm of secularism. And again, religion is not an end in itself. The Christian faith is not an end in itself. Historic Christianity is not even an end in itself. What is the end in itself? Jesus is the end in itself. But how do we lash ourselves to Jesus? Through the Christian faith, the Christian religion is the means by staying in the faith. It is that tree that roots us, that ties us. We delight in the law of God, as the law of the Lord as revealed through Jesus. I want my daughter to be a Christian one day when I'm not around, when she goes off to college, when she gets a job, when she, I can't say that, finds somebody and gets married one day. And I tell her that. I hope to never force her to come to church. I guess there's been a few times where she's felt like I did. But I want her to desire to come to church. And I've always tried to be that way by telling her, one day you're going to have to make this decision. One day it's going to be up to you, because I'm not going to be there, and I'm not going to nag you going, did you go to church today? I'm not going to do that. I'm just not. So what have I done to lash her to the Christian faith? And she may walk away. That's her decision. I pray that she does it. I pray that your children don't. I pray that you don't. But what have I done to lash her to the Christian faith? Well, I've modeled some things. I've modeled the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven. I pray it often. Pray it all the time. I'm guessing if I started right now, she could... I've modeled the Apostles' Creed. I pray it often, say it often, think about it often. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and I say it, and she knows it. I pray the Jesus Prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I follow the church calendar. I'm connected with the community. That's you guys. I wanted to see some of you folks today. And some more of you folks today. And some more of you folks today. I wanted to connect with you. I've showed her the importance of communion, the Lord's Supper. I've started doing something where I pray the transitions. We talked about this a couple of months ago. Where throughout the day, when my time transitions from one activity to the next, I stop for 30 seconds to a minute and I just pray. Pray for people, pray the Lord's Prayer, whatever it may be. I've started a new thing that I do. I've started praying what scholars are calling the Jesus Creed. And this is good. You need to remember this. This is good. I started praying the Jesus Creed. When Jesus was asked, what's the most important commandment? He said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So I've started praying that several times a day. These are just things that they're not an end to themselves. In themselves, I could pray the Lord's Prayer. I've mastered it. No, they're lashes that connect me to Jesus. They're deep roots that connect me to Jesus. So I am blessed and I delight in the law of the Lord. I've seen over at Jenna Lee and Jeremy with their girls in the on the mirror in the restroom. where the girls get ready. They have Bible verses and things pasted on the window to remind them that this is who they are in Jesus and this is who they are. They got stuff everywhere. Why do they do that? Because it's deep roots. It's lashes. It's keeping us grounded in the faith. Not an end in themselves, but a structure for when I'm not around. These are structures for you. We don't make up Christianity. It has been delivered to us. If you pay someone who's never read the Bible in their life, who's never heard of Jesus, doesn't know anything about Christianity or religion, you pray them to read the Bible for 8 hours a day for an entire year, the chances of them coming up with the doctrine of the Trinity is zero. They won't be able to do it. They will know about the Father, they'll know about the Son, and they'll know about the Holy Spirit. But the doctrine of the Trinity, they will not understand. They'll never come up with that. Why? Because that doctrine has been delivered to us by the church, by the entire church, over time. I pray the Lord's Prayer because Jesus prayed it, because he prayed it, passed it on to his disciples, who passed it on to the church, who passed it down to generations, who passed it down to one of my mentors, Pastor Brian Zahn, who taught me. I would have never started praying that without Brian Zahn. He would have never prayed that without Martin Luther, and Martin Luther would have never prayed it without Jesus and the disciples. The Trinity is not a creation of the Christian religion, but the doctrine of it is. So it takes the Holy Spirit working in concert with the whole church to come up with these profound truths that we pass on. Because by yourself, you'll come up with some weird stuff. That's why you got to be careful about these churches that base themselves all the way back to just one person. That's when you get weird stuff. You say, who's their founder? It's this person, and that's who they are founded on. That's like tying yourself to a dandelion in the middle of a storm. You're going to get wiped out to sea. You can't privatize religion. It's not just Jesus and me. I am spiritual and not religious means I made up my own religion. It's been passed down to us. The blessing and us being delighted has been passed down to us. So we can either say, don't think anything is worth living for in this world. I'm a nihilist. I reject any big story. I reject God. I reject any kind of creation. I reject there's anything about life that's worth knowing. That's what part of our society has done. We can have an empty spirituality that says, I'm spiritual, not religious. I just me and God, and that becomes chaffy and flaky and empty. Or we can say, I have received religious tradition. The religion that we have received and embraced is the practice of the faith of Jesus Christ. And that makes us like a tree planted by streams of water, and we don't have to fear the storm. And number five, our responsibility. If you're a Christ follower, our responsibility is to preserve the faith and pass it on. Our responsibility is to preserve the faith and pass it on. Your responsibility is to yield fruit in season. Your responsibility is to give this world and others something that is nourishing. To take all the things about Jesus and find ways to live it and pass it on. You find things that are true, that are good, that are beautiful about Christianity and pass them on to nourish this starving world. There's a lot of bad stuff about religion. There's a lot of bad stuff about Christianity, but at its best, it points to Jesus. I practice the Christian calendar because it points to Jesus and it helps me to pass it on. Do you practice the Christian calendar? How about December 25th? Do you practice that part of the Christian calendar? Merry Christmas. It's special not because of lights and consumerism. It's special because it points to Jesus and helps us to pass it on. Easter is not just another Sunday in the spring. It points us to Jesus and helps us to pass Christianity on. The Lord's Prayer is just not another prayer. It points to Jesus. It nourishes us, and it helps us to pass it on to nourish others. Because previous generations who were blessed and delighted in the law of the Lord, they bore fruit in season, and they nourished the next generation, and they nourished the next generation. And here we are 2,000 years later, still saying, I believe in Jesus, still blessed and still delighting in the law of the Lord. Live for Jesus this week. You got your Living for Jesus slip in your bulletin there. Every day, pray the Psalm of the day. I've told you to do this 100 times. I'm probably going to tell you to do it 100 more times because it's important. If Jesus prayed the Psalms, if Jesus, when he was pressed, the Psalms came out, how much more so do I need to pray the Psalms? So what you do is you find out what day of the year it is. Today is the 133rd day of the year. Did you know that? Now you know that. So you go to Psalms 133 and don't just read it, pray it. You pray that psalm. That's what Jesus did. I don't know if he did the psalm of the day, but he prayed the psalms. And you let the psalms pray you and figure you out and change you, and God through his Holy Spirit mold you through the psalms. When you get to 150, day 150, you start back over. So you have to do a little bit of math. I hate to do that to you, but number two. Delight in the law of the Lord through a practice. We try to do it as a feeling. I'm delighting in the law of the Lord. And what does that mean? I don't know. This means I'm happy. That's good, but you do these things through a practice. And I just gave you some examples here. I've talked about them today. Praying the Lord's Prayer, praying the Jesus Creed. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Through silent meditation. Who meditates on it day and night? Through praying in the Spirit. We're Pentecostal. Let me try again. We're Pentecostal. You can pray in the Spirit. You can pray in your prayer language, but through praying the transitions, that's the one that I've told you about today, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You have to figure out ways to delight in the Lord, ways to lash yourself to be deeply rooted in who Jesus is. And I hope and I pray that the Holy Spirit taught you something today, something that you that will help root you in the Christian faith. Not as an end in itself, but to point you to Jesus. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. If you are not blessed by connecting with God through Jesus, if you don't delight in the law of the Lord as revealed through Jesus, and if you would like to begin following Christ today, you'd like to be blessed, delighted, nourished like a tree, we believe that comes through a connection with Christ. And I'd like to pray with you today. I just want to see your hand. If you'd like to connect with Christ today, if you'd like to be that like that tree planted by the streams of living water through Jesus Christ, if that's you, can I just see your hand? Can you put it up? Let me see it and put it right back down. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You might have prayed this prayer when you were a child or when you were younger. We used to have a lady here. She's homebound now. She used to pray the prayer about every other week. But that's fine. She wanted to connect with Jesus. If you'd like to connect with Jesus, if you'd like to be deeply rooted, can I just see your hand? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus. Lord, for those who raised their hand today, would you deeply root them? Your presence. Would you connect them with you? Would you make their life flourishing? Would you get rid of the flaky stuff that we all can have from time to time? Would you just ask him to do that today? Say, deeply root me in your presence. Forgive me of the flaky stuff. Help me have some weight to my faith. A deeply rooted faith. Make me like that tree planted by streams of water, yielding, bearing, nourishing fruit for people in my life, something good for them that I can pass on. And Lord, we all pray today. Every Christian here, we pray that you would teach us to be deeply rooted in the Christian faith, not as an end in itself, but so we're deeply connected to the author of our faith, Jesus. May we have something that nourishes this world. At work, at home, at school. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let it be so, let it be so. Thank you, Jesus. Our friend James, I was told, is not feeling well today. Lord, we just ask in Jesus' name. He just came to my mind, so I ask in Jesus' name that you would help James heal him, oh God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. One of the ways you stay rooted in Jesus and the Christian faith is through worship. So let's stand and let's worship God through song right now. To be praised. Lord, help us to see how true you are, how good you are, how beautiful you are. And help us to share the message of Jesus. And it would be good and nourishing to this world, to our friends, family, and neighbors. to our own souls. We thank you for this time together. Lord, just bless your people. Make your face shine upon them. Be gracious to every person here. And give every person here peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.